T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best. The best analysis. The best interviews. The best coverage. And no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Welcome. We're at the Red Zone. We're here on South Howell Avenue, and that's where you can find us. And we are enjoying the Bill Michaels Huddle tonight. Kevin Holden from CBS 58 alongside. Also, our buddy Drew Burgoyne from CBS 58 here as well. And talking Packers and Vikings, getting you ready for that contest coming up this Sunday. Noon kickoff at Lambeau Field. Packers have 226 victories at Lambeau Field, the most home wins by any franchise in any one stadium in NFL history. Part of that, because you're not going to get rid of Lambeau Field.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I think the Patriots have done pretty well, but as far as the home field record, because you're not going to get rid of Lambeau Field anytime soon. That's like saying you have the most wins and you're still playing at Fenway or at Wrigley. You know,
It's
you're not getting rid of that stadium anytime soon, so you're going to continue to mount in that particular stadium. But Aaron Rodgers has recorded 7 games with a passer rating of 130-plus against Minnesota, the most by any quarterback in NFL history against one opponent, according to the Elias Sports Bureau. Maybe he can do that again this weekend and really bust out big with this offense. We were kind of picking up where we left off, guys. And it begins and ends with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers had said it's going to be a little bit of a work in progress. Brian Gutekunst has said, you know, hey, look, he's looking 4, 5, 6 games for the progress. The one thing I'll say is, I don't think you have 4, 5, or 6 games. I mean, you eventually got to get this thing right. Now, you don't have stiff opponents coming up here anytime soon. You've got, obviously, the Minnesota Vikings. After that, you got Denver. Philly, I think, is pretty good. You still have to go to Dallas. Detroit, not a great team. Oakland, I don't think, is going to be a great team. And you've got 5 of the next 6 here at Lambeau Field. But I don't think you can afford to stumble against any of these teams that you should be beating, especially home games, because if you win your home games, you only need a couple on the road to steal. And all of a sudden, you're finding yourself in the postseason. So these home games are extremely important.
And that game in Chicago, a slop fest, ugly. But, you know, at the end of the season, you don't look back at 10-3. You don't remember it. You just look at, you know, that it's a W.
It's a win,
And you started out with a win, and then that takes a little pressure off, I think, especially this week. Because if you start 0-2, not only 0-2 in a hole, and I know the statistics don't favor, you know, teams, but that's 0-2 in your division, and that – that would have been really tough to kind of come out of. So just to be able to get at least one of those, I think that helps out a lot.
Here you go, Kevin. The Packers have scored 23-plus points in 11 of the last 13 home games against Minnesota. The over and under on getting to 23 in this particular game.
I don't know if I'd call that right now. I'm thinking a little more of a 20-17, at this point. 23 might be difficult for a couple of reasons. The Minnesota defense, I got a lot of respect for what's going on there, I think up front especially. But also, you haven't seen anything yet from any specific part of the offense that gives you super optimism, that lets you say they can begin around this, right? If Rodgers had found somebody for 150 yards or whatever against Chicago, or if he had, you know, had this connection with double-digit receptions, all this other stuff, you could say, well, this is where it begins, and they can play off of it. I don't think any of that happened. Certainly not from a run standpoint. That it didn't happen at all for Jamal Williams. It happened only a little for Aaron Jones. So 23... Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think they could get there. Well,
betting week 2 in the NFL is so tough now because, you know, there's no preseason, so you don't know what you see the first week. Is that really what's going to happen? Was that an aberration? But is the line – I think the line is what, 3?
3.
For favoring the Packers. And it hasn't moved.
It's favoring the Packers by 3, which is basically a pick 'em.
A pick 'em, which, right. I mean, still think is – pretty good after what we saw, you know, the first week from both of these teams, that, you know, the way the Vikings dismantled Atlanta and the struggles that, you know, Green Bay had, at least offensively.
Well, they were – the defense was good enough. The offense, you know, you put your 10 up and that was that, right? But I don't know if you'll see a defense as ridiculously good as Chicago the rest of the way. I mean, Minnesota's a good defense, but Chicago is literally at that other level.
Do you think Chicago is that much farther ahead of Minnesota?
Like overall?
Yeah, I just look at what Minnesota has, not only up front, but what they have in the secondary with Rhodes and Harrison Smith and Anthony Harris and Trey Waynes, and you go through that whole list of guys that they got back there, not to mention their linebacking core. Is it pesky? Is it better?
I mean, put them just on the same level, but I mean, they don't have Khalil Mack, right?
Khalil Mack is the guy that tips the field. It's like saying you've got an evenly matched team, but the only reason it's evenly matched is because it's Aaron Rodgers against everybody else. That's the way many people consider it, and that's the way Vegas looks at it.
So I look at it this way from an overall standpoint. I brought this up when I was on your show this week filling in for you earlier on the network. I said this. You go to a Chicago fan and you tell them that they could change out what they have for what Minnesota has, which is to say a defense that's still good and Dalvin Cook and, you know, an actual quarterback instead of Mitch Trubisky. And I think your Chicago fans, what I said is they were trading in their Metro cards and deep dish pizzas. Like, give it to me, you know? Right. Like, Chicago would take Minnesota's team overall.
Now, let me ask you this, and I mentioned this last week coming back. I was coming back from the game on Thursday night, and I'm driving back. It's late. I'm listening to a Chicago fan just jump off the bridge. And then they played Mitch Trubisky's press conference. Okay, the one thing I've noted – did you hear this already? Have you heard me say this?
No.
Okay. They're playing Mitch Trubisky's press conference, and as God is my witness, I'm thinking to myself, it sounds like a kid who is sitting at a six-foot banquet table with a microphone. He's got three hats in front of him, and he's about to choose which college he's going to. He sounds like a high school kid. He sounds – pardon me, but he sounds like an idiot.
They told him to stop talking about the game.
Right. And so my point being is when you see the likes of Tom Brady and hear him, when you see Aaron Rodgers and hear him, even Patrick Mahomes, when you hear him, Dak Prescott, when you hear him.
Yeah.
Hell, you go back to even when Michael Vick was in the league. Mm-hmm. Michael Vick was he was incredibly talented but very, very smart when he came to the podium about certain things he would break down and talk about. 90% of playing quarterback to me is being able to decipher defenses and being intelligent between the ears. And they traded up to get this guy, and they're saying, well, you can't put it in his hands down the stretch. Why'd you draft this idiot?
And why did you come up with a game plan, you know, to have this guy throw 40-some times? I mean, Matt Nagy gave the
They got away from Montgomery, and I thought Montgomery would have run the ball hell of a lot.
I don't understand. I feel like Matt Nagy said, okay, Green Bay, we're going to spot you a little bit, you know, with this, you know, with what we're doing. Because I'm just shaking my head watching this game going, respect the Packers' defense and this and that, but run the football and don't let this guy who's – literally staring down receivers. I think Steve Young said it. He goes, he looks like a high school quarterback. He goes, and that's embarrassing at this level.
Right.
What if Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson was the current quarterback of the Bears? Because that could easily have happened.
Right,
should have.
It should have happened, absolutely. That I think that tips the scales on the other side. If you have Mac on this end and Deshaun Watson on this end, then look out.
That's the best team in the division.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Easily. Yeah. With the talent that they have and the defense that can back it up, then by far. And the thing about it is with Mitch Trubisky, he's always going to give you three. It's what you do with him. He's always going to throw three to you. And he did, as a matter of fact. I mean, one hit Kevin King right in the breadbasket, and he just happened to drop it.
Yeah, he should have picked it.
But they had an opportunity three separate times. One they capitalized on, obviously, late in the ballgame, and then the other two they just didn't get to. But he gives you three. Now, imagine if Patrick Mahomes was over there and he was running the same style of offense and being able to do the same type of thing. You know, I mean, think – then it's not that Aaron Rodgers is not on – you know, they're not on his level. I don't think they're on his level. But I think that they're closer, far closer to his level than where Mitch Trubisky is. And Trubisky, to me, is probably the boat anchor to that team more so than the guy that's going to propel that team to be a division champion year in and year out.
If that happens, if it's Mahomes, the three of us are standing here saying the Packers spent all that money in free agency and brought in all that defensive talent, and they get humiliated in week one. And then we start playing the Ted Thompson game. Because how many years was it – but later on, when Ted would finally sign a free agent, one, and then a week or two in, we're having buyer's remorse about
yeah,
it.
Right.
We would feel that way if you're facing a Patrick Mahomes offense.
Yep. I completely agree. Let's do this. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're going to come back. Another segment talking Packers and Vikings. Then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to get into the rest of the NFL. As you got a game tonight, Tampa Bay and Carolina are going to be going at it. And the burning question revolving around everyone that's even paying attention to the NFL is what in the hell is he wearing in his hair? And I'll tell you what I'm talking about when we come back. That's true. We're going. And also Kevin Holden from CBS 58. We are broadcasting live at the Red Zone here on South Howe. Stop in, say hi. We are brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We got more after this.
They got really good pass rush. They've got three linebackers. The two that are out there the most, you know, Kendricks and Barr, that can really run. And then they've got Harrison Smith's got to be one of the top, if not the best safety in the National Football League. And you got Xavier Rhodes and Trey Wayans. I mean, they've got players on all three levels. And then when you combine that with Mike Zimmer's scheme, it's definitely a challenge.
There you go. Those are the words of Matt LaFleur, the head coach of your Green Bay Packers. Welcome back. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle. We are broadcasting live down here at the Red Zone on South Howell Avenue, just, I don't know, about a half mile south, maybe a mile south of the General Mitchell International Airport in Milwaukee, alongside Kevin Holden from CBS 58, Drew Burgoyne from CBS 58 as well, talking Packers, talking Vikings, getting you prepared. The best tandem wide receiving core.
Ooh.
Is that who they're going to face this weekend? Is Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen? The best 1-2 punch?
In the league. I mean, maybe because for me, to be the best 1-2, either guy has to be able to be a 1. That would be my first thought. Is that you can't have this great tandem if you don't have two terrific standalone parts. And who is the 1? I mean, I guess Thielen is the 1, but Diggs could be the 1.
Now, would it be, indeed he pans out, would it be Julian Edelman and Antonio Brown? Would they then go to number one if Antonio Brown suddenly becomes less of a nut?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, even if Brown is who he is, I think Brown individually is probably the best of that group of four that we've mentioned. But I think the combo is still better. I really do. I mean, I think Thielen and Diggs are dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. And it would be scary to think about the Packers secondary from a couple of years ago trying to stop both of these guys.
Yeah.
You couldn't stop one of these guys.
Yeah.
Especially
safety.
I'm going through this list, and everybody's got a one. I mean, there's A.J. Green. There's Odell Beckham Jr. You start going through this list. They got some pretty good wide receivers in Indianapolis as well. When you talk about T.Y. Hilton, but it's Zach Pascal, and T.Y. Salah. We all know that. But I'm trying to look at a tandem that's that good. Now, if Marquez Valdes-Scantling pans out, and then in addition to that, Geronimo Allison continues to progress, well, then you probably have three really good ones along with Davante Adams. That could be maybe the best wide receiving core. But, again, those guys have to take ginormous leaps this season.
I know you're super high on Geronimo.
I am.
All of us, you know, he seems like he has all the intangibles. But, man, nothing from him last week.
No, I mean,
at all. And I really thought, okay, maybe they – throw a couple of guys over to take care of Devontae, you know, try to shut him down, giving other opportunities for some of these other guys, and nothing at all. But, again, things weren't functioning very well, so I don't want to, you know, make an inference on one game. I think we're going to see probably by week four, week five, what this offense, you know, is.
Could you say Alshon Jeffrey, say DeSean Jackson and Nelson Agholor?
I like those guys, but I just in terms of, like, this guy scares me, and this other guy scares me just as much.
Right.
I mean, that's
right.
It's like two, you know, clone receivers. Like, oh my goodness, both of these dudes are going to require what should be your number one option in pass coverage.
Not even in Seattle, Tyler Lockett, Malik Turner.
I like Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, I like Lockett.
Yeah,
everybody's got one. Everybody's
got one,
right. But nobody's got that duo. You know, Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper. Randall Cobb's there now, but he doesn't. Yeah. He's a slot guy. He's not that out guy. Although Randall Cobb did get into the end zone this past
weekend.
Yes, he did. And you know, Packer fan was quick to say, "We should have never got rid of him." It's always better to get rid of a guy a year too soon than a year too late.
Yep. And they've done really well with that, by the way.
Yes, they have.
The Sittons and the Langs and these guys, they have done. They've made some very difficult decisions, Jordy. These were hard decisions, and for the most part, they paid off.
And week five, when he's injured, you're not going to hear from that guy.
Right. Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, Kansas City. You throw Kelsey into the mix, now you got
it.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But I'm trying to think of two burners like they have in Minnesota. I mean, that's when you say to yourself, the Packers, at least on paper, have drafted extremely well at the corner position because they now they have size and speed.
Right.
And they believe that they can go one-on-one with those guys on the outside.
They got to. I mean, you're going to have to. And the interesting thing about it is how Minnesota does this is if those guys can stretch the field, they don't even have to catch a ton of balls to affect the game. They stretch the field.
Right.
Dalvin Cook has that room.
Depends on what you do with your safeties.
Yep.
You know, if you go one-on-one downfield and you don't have to put safeties over the top continuously for help, then the safeties can at least come up and give you some run support. But again, if you, like you said, you stretch the field, you get a couple of holes. Dalvin Cook all of a sudden goes from the second to the third level really, really quick. And you're talking about big chunks of yardage that continually moves the sticks, and they just grind on you
if,
after a while.
If Jair is healthy, you know, he can take one of those. And you
pray
know,
to God the knee's not too bad.
Right,
yeah.
And that's what I'm saying, right? And, you know, but you feel good with that guy on one side of the field, like, okay, this is a shutdown type of guy.
Yeah.
He may give up some, but for the most part, you feel comfortable with him. And to me, it's all – we talked about this, you know, off the air, just the depth of this defense. You know, you've got a lot of really good starters, but if a couple of these guys start going down, then what do you have?
Who can you not live with without? I mean, Kenny Clark up front?
You Blake. Know,
I think Blake Martinez. I think you have to.
You know?
To. Yeah,
I mean, obviously, your outside pass rushers in Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, both of those guys came in for a reason, and they work great in tandem. You know, it goes to show, look, they picked up Khalil Mack in Chicago, and everybody wanted Khalil Mack here, and I still pine for Khalil Mack.
Right.
But when you're able to kind of spread the money around, you pick up Adrian Amos, he solidifies the back end, and almost prophetic in the pregame dinner and saying, I got to go out and make a big play, and sure enough he did, and that shuts down the drive, and the Bears end up losing. But then you spread it around, and you also go with Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, you fill the holes where not you don't have superstars at every level, but what you have is just solid performers at every level and burgeoning superstars, maybe, in some of the guys that we have mentioned that's on, young on the back end, including Darnell Savage Jr. Who knows what this defense is going to be like in 2 years, or even next year?
I feel, and I really feel, as young as they are, if they can stay healthy, they add a couple of pieces. I really feel like the identity of this team is changing. I really do. I see them, you know, investing so much in this defense, and it needs to happen because that's where it's failed over the last several years when they've really needed it.
It wasn't a big game for Rashawn Gary.
No.
In Chicago. He kind of shows up, and you see him, you know, out there doing his thing. That's a guy that I know they say they're not relying on him, and he's got the rookie curve and all that kind of stuff. But man, when you're taking that high and you're a first round draft choice, you got to produce, don't you?
You are being depended on to take something from good to great. I mean, that's the idea, is that everything was set up with all the free agent signings that you mentioned, the help in the outside, in the linebacking core, the help in the secondary. Now Rashawn Gary is that extra piece, and the thought is if he is as good as advertised, as good as they believe he could be, that takes that defense one extra level up. And it's a lot of pressure, but again, as you say, if you're upper half of the first round, this is what your life is. And what he showed at Michigan when he was healthy was that he would be good enough to be that person. My concern is when he's healthy, and I just hope that we're not spending the next X number of years talking about a guy who's on the field five games a year.
Speaking of that, do you like the fact that Gutekunst came in and said, look, where there's dead wood, I'm trimming it. It doesn't matter what the draft choice is?
I loved it. In fact, I don't think people talked enough about that,
yeah.
You know, because I thought he was setting the tone and saying, you know, I respect Ted. I learned a lot from Ted. But Ted allowed some of these guys to go four years,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they wouldn't pick up the option or whatever. Well, 4 years when you know, you're wasting
right.
time. This guy said, if you don't produce, then guess what? We don't have time for that. And
right.
I love it. I think he's putting his stamp on the team, and that to me is his sense of urgency to get things, you know, switched
around. I think there is a sense of urgency. I don't think people realize it. I know this seems to be the year that people kind of concede as saying, well, just try to get to the postseason and get experience, and I'm probably one of them. But now you're counting. You're putting notches in your belt saying, maybe I've got five left. Okay, after this, you got four left. You're counting down now. It's no more where, hey, by the time he's 32, 33, 35, you probably got a couple of Super Bowls. Now you're looking at going, we should have had at least one more, going back to 2014. And now your clock is ticking. And Aaron Rodgers knows it too, because the only way his legacy is ever going to be compared as one of the best quarterbacks in Green Bay history is not going to be the touchdown to interception ratio
rings.
Or the yards or anything.
Yeah.
It's going to come down to rings.
Rings.
And Favre was the age when Rodgers got drafted. drafted that Rodgers is now.
Right.
And so what that means is at that point, when they were drafting Rodgers, the Packers were pondering their future at that moment.
Yep.
And now they're pondering that future. And they're realizing there's some, you know, folks up there that are understanding that franchise generational quarterback number three may not drop into your lap.
Right.
So you have to build the other aspects of the team. And even if you do that slowly and you sign those free agents to longer contracts, 3-4 years, that's what you have to do. To me, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, and Adrian Amos are the Aaron Rodgers of 2019. They are the Packers preparing for their future, trying to help Rodgers while he's still good enough to play, but setting them up so that when he retires, it's not a 2-14 football team.
Do you look at, talking about quarterbacks, Tim Boyle, do you think he's enough to sustain for a couple of games if indeed Aaron Rodgers should have an injury?
A couple of games? You know, maybe. I mean,
okay, so if he has to play against Denver next week.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of struggles. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like him. I mean, you know, but yeah. But I think this guy needs probably another year in this, you know, in the system. I really thought they were going to go out and maybe try to grab after they got rid of Kaiser, which I was fine with. I mean, again, you know, wasn't
he just never really looked good. He never looked like he had command of things.
And I was okay with that, but I thought maybe they would pick a journeyman up just in case to say, you know, we'll keep three on the roster. You know, Boyle, we're going to develop you. However, I would feel better with, you know, with more of a savvy veteran back
on that list. I think he's below Kaiser and below Hundley for me.
Really?
That's way down, I know.
That's dramatically down.
That's where he is.
Kaiser had the athletic ability. He just didn't look like he had command of things. There was something about Tim Boyle who stood tall in the pocket. And maybe it's because he just didn't have the same athleticism that Deshaun Kaiser had. So he didn't have that same running ability. But he just stood tall and kind of delivered the strike. And now I got to admit, I was watching the Saints game and Taysom Hill coming in and doing all kinds of things. Now he's not throwing the ball and taking the place of Drew Brees.
Right.
But I kept thinking, boy, if you could have used him in some way, shape, or form to what they're doing and the way Sean Payton has kind of developed that particular space and the way Drew Brees embraces it. I'm thinking, man, because not only does he come out and he runs the football, then right after that he delivers a block on his way out to catch a touchdown pass. Now, again, I'm not saying that he's your backup quarterback, but, man, I thought he looked good when they had him here, and I thought they'd maybe let one get away there. That was a Ted Thompson thing, though.
Yeah, I think everyone agrees on that.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We are broadcasting live out here at the Red Zone on South Howell Avenue. You can stop in and say hi. We're going to be here in about another half an hour, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the guy that's on the field right now and what is up with his hair. And in addition to that, we're also going to start picking some teams and some matchups for this weekend. Stay tuned. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Huddle brought to you by Bud Light coming up right after this. Welcome back. We are glad to have you. It's Bill Michaels Huddle. We are broadcasting live here at the Red Zone. That's where you can track us down on South Howell Avenue, and you can stop in, say hi, just south of the airport, the General Mitchell International Airport. It is a rainy night right now in Carolina as the Panthers are driving, and they're taking on the Buccaneers. Rain is starting to come down, and I like it. I love rain. I used to love rain games. You know why? Because it makes speedy guys slow like big guys. And I loved it. And it was great. And I loved the mud and the muck. And anybody I could take down and slam into a puddle somewhere was always fantastic. So good stuff there. Kevin Holden from CBS 58 along with Drew Burgoyne from CBS 58 as well. Here on site tonight, guys, we're going to start picking some games. Panthers 0-1, Buccaneers 0-1. And Jameis Winston has not even come close to the projection of a quarterback that he was supposed to be. But Cam Newton, he's like a caricature. What the hell? He's wearing a kerchief. He looks like my grandmother heading off to church, you know? I mean, and it gets more flamboyant and goofier each and every week, and his quarterback play has not been necessarily stellar in the last couple of years. I'm still going to take Carolina at home just because, but Cam Newton has – you talk about a guy, a superstar, that his luster has worn off. And now he's just an old act that has grown tired. That's Cam Newton, man.
When he when they lost a Super Bowl, and he just kind of, I think that turned a lot of heads.
Yep.
At that point, you know, for, you know, act like you've been there, you know.
Right.
This is Christian McCaffrey's team now in terms of offense. I mean, to me, it is. Cam is doing some of this, but without Christian McCaffrey, I think Cam would be really exposed. I'm with you, though. I think they win this game, but I think, as you say, Cam's idea of being even one of the first 10 quarterbacks in the league is probably gone now.
Yeah, I would completely agree. You've got to the Cardinals. They're on the road taking on Baltimore. Baltimore, solid defense. They get a win in the opener. The Cardinals impress me because Kyler Murray, first overall pick in this year's draft, gets the start. They get down by 20. And then he comes roaring back and played extremely well, very, very poised. Now, granted, it was the Lions and it was a tie, but I was impressed with what they did, although I'm still going to say the Ravens get a win at home.
Ravens, I think, win at home because they've got a good base. I mean, the 59-point performance against Miami was
right.
Incredible, and that's not going to happen against everybody. But Kyler Murray is going to take his lumps. I like him. I really do. I think he's, you know, I'm not going to call him Patrick Mahomes or anything, but he's a difference maker, I think. But not enough to, in week two as a professional, to go and win in Baltimore. That's not happening.
And Baltimore played Miami last week, right?
Right.
And that was pretty much people calling up their agents saying, well, we went out of here.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. Miami just taking that kind of a beating. And then they've got all their agents, seven players had their agents calling. They wanted to figure out a way to get themselves out of Miami.
Just a mess.
How can you tank in the NFL? I mean, just literally just tank.
It's a terrible idea. Ask the Browns, because you can tank all you want, but you don't get appreciably better doing that. Basketball, you can do it because you can find a superstar.
Yep.
That doesn't happen in football.
Then you've got Cincinnati. The Bengals come back from Seattle 0-1. They're taking on San Francisco at Paul Brown Stadium in the Queen City. Look, San Francisco gets their opening day win. I was impressed that Cincinnati went to Seattle and went toe-to-toe. 21-20 was their defeat against a decent, I'm not going to say great, but a decent Seahawks team. But the fact that they went from the East Coast to the West Coast on an opener and went toe-to-toe with them, I was impressed. I'm going to take Cincinnati at home in this one.
Yeah, I like Cincinnati. I know I'm not sure if Joe Mixon's playing or not. You know, I know
He's still questionable come the game.
To me, he's a difference maker.
And that's without A.J. Green, too. A.J. Green got banged up in the beginning of the season, and they didn't IR him, but he's still there. And they still don't have their best weapon back.
Maybe Bengals by a push. I don't know.
Yeah,
game, I would think.
Yeah, for sure. I do pick the Bengals here mostly because they're at home, but because they're another team that's starting to vary out from it. It used to be Dalton and A.J. Green, and they're starting to go away from it.
Defensively, they've been better, too. They still have a pretty solid defense. I go all the way back to when Zimmer was there, who's now the head coach of the Vikings. Zimmer, he was able to scheme up tremendous defenses. Remember, they had Jay Gruden as their offensive coordinator and Zimmer as their defensive coordinator. They lost Marvin Lewis lost both of those guys in an offseason and just never recovered after that, and then ultimately losing his job. Meanwhile, the Chargers, they're heading up to Detroit, up to the Motor City. Chargers get a win in their opener. The Lions, that's the team that got tied by the Cardinals after a sizable lead and watched it all just get frittered away. I'm taking the Chargers. This is my first road win. I'm taking the Chargers on the road to get the road win. I don't know if I can take the Lions in almost any game this year.
Maybe Mike Daniels is talking that big, talking the big defense,
right?
You know, there.
Well, he couldn't get to Kyler Murray, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I had enough of that. I'll take Rivers on the road.
Here's the thing about the Lions. That is the sort of opening game that can affect you in a negative way.
Right.
You know, some teams would be happy to come out of that with a tie, but the way they collapsed, I worry there's a hangover. I think the Chargers win pretty big.
And then you've got the Texans at home. The Texans, they got beat up, what was it, Monday night, right? They got beat on Monday Night Football.
Saints.
By the Saints. They got beat, and the Saints did it. I'll tell you what, Deshaun Watson looked really good in bringing that team back, and then right after that, Drew Brees gets the ball, and then off they go. And do they have lightning in the stadium?
Yeah, suspended play.
They have just suspended play in the game in Carolina. The Buccaneers and the Panthers walking off the field. The stands are being asked to evacuate the stadium as lightning has been sought in the area, or seen in the area, I should say. And so they're now exiting the field. 8:31 left to go in the first quarter in that ball game. So that game's going to be held up quite a while. But going back to the Texans, I was impressed with Deshaun Watson. Nick Foles goes to Jacksonville. It didn't look like the Nick Foles we saw winning a ring. I mean, he's going to only do so much because that team stinks on ice. I'm going to take Texans at home.
Yeah, Texans at home. And
Foles is out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's –
Yeah, you're dealing with some dude with, like, one of those Thurston Howell names. The first time I heard the name, I didn't even – you know what I mean? It's like, you know, Graham Witherington the Fourth is your quarterback.
Hot.
Get me a martini.
Green 82. So,
Texans right. Big.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's passing one off to Lovey. How are we looking? and then you've got the Patriots going to – can you imagine what Miami's going to take this week? Holy God. Now, I don't think Antonio Brown is playing. They have not made an announcement yet, but after the allegations, we'll have to wait and see. And Bill Belichick certainly – he's just an ass.
Yeah.
But Bill Belichick hasn't said one way or the other. He did practice today with the Patriots, by the way, but the Patriots, after just dismantling the Pittsburgh Steelers, they now go down to Miami, where Miami just got obliterated last weekend. Patriots, if I had to say the points spread, Patriots by 20 in this one, easy.
It's 14-something, isn't it?
I have 19 on this one. Is I don't know who that is.
Yeah, but then it's changed, so it's gone up. Well, and this is Flores is one of Belichick's disciples, right? So
yeah.
Maybe he doesn't.
Maybe he doesn't humiliate him?
Yeah, maybe
no.
They get up.
No.
I don't know.
You left me. You're garbage. I'm
be.
Everything.
Could be.
And
yeah.
And that's the way we'll do yeah. it.
Evil yes. Empire by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah,
there you go.
I buy it. I buy it.
So I don't think anything out of the ordinary is going to go on there. Not at all. Bill Belichick's going to maybe crack a smile at the end of the game. you left me. You're garbage. The Bills, they're on the road. They're 1-0, and they're taking on the lowly. Boy, the Giants just suck. Just suck. Buffalo, look, Buffalo's still, every year we try to say they're turning things around, but they're trying to turn things around. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but Buffalo starts the season off at 2-0, and the Giants lose yet again. And they're already screaming for Eli to not be the quarterback anymore. You talk about a guy that fell off the cliff.
Man.
There's nothing granted, there. You know, after Jason Pierre-Paul blew his fingers off, everything's pretty much downhill after that.
Right.
But they just – everything's just gone south. Now, granted, he's got a couple of rings, and he can still go home and wave them at Peyton, I guess. But as they sit at the table with their 4 rings between them. But right. Eli Manning just – stinks.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's amazing to think in terms of timeline. I mean, his first game at Ole Miss as the quarterback when he came in in college wasn't it in 2000? Wasn't it 19
yeah.
years ago?
That's amazing. And he still looks like he's 12.
He does.
He's still got that permanent bitch face. That always looks like he's just mad at the world. He's going to take his football and go home. But nevertheless, I'm picking the Bills in this one. Drew?
Bills. You?
I'm just going to go with the Giants. It's hard for me to
True.
Go. Well, it's just hard for me to go Buffalo to 2-0 to start the season.
I know. It's like my tongue almost fell off and ran away. But
I had no sound reason.
I felt the need to do so. Real quick, we'll go Seahawks on the road taking on the Steelers. The Seahawks didn't look good against Cincinnati. I don't think Cincinnati's that good. The Steelers look flat out awful. I can't imagine they're going to start the season 0-2, especially at home. They have got to rebound. I'm going to take the Steelers, and this is one where I'm going against my gut, but I'm going to take the Steelers to go to 1-1 and the Seahawks go to 1-1.
I agree. Yeah, I think Pittsburgh, again, the first week, it's so tough to, you know, to say, oh, that's how it's going to be. I mean, there was a lot of messy preseason-like games.
It's a get-angry time, and the Steelers are still good enough to get angry enough to win.
Let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and wrap things up, continue the second half, including the Packers and the Vikings. We'll make our picks there. Stay tuned. The Bill Michaels Huddle is brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We've got more right after this. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle. We are broadcasting live at the Red Zone. We're on South Howell Avenue here in Milwaukee. Come on by and say hi. Just south of the General Mitchell International Airport. Kevin Holden from CBS 58 alongside Drew Burgoyne here as well from the same. And we get back into picking some games. The Colts 0-1 without their quarterback Andrew Luck, who retired abruptly. The Titans, they're 1-0 on the season and playing back at home. And if I had to pick this one, I'd just go Titans just because I think that the Colts are still going to be in disarray trying to figure out their quarterback situation.
I almost wish that I could pick a push here. Can I predict a tie? I guess that probably would be a bad idea. I'll go Colts, but I'd have no – if this were a confidence pool, that's a 1. That's the last one on the list.
Yeah, I go like Tennessee by last-second field goal or something like that, yeah.
Tennessee, everybody gets the choice there. Then you got the Cowboys, who looked pretty strong coming out of the chute. Now they take on the Washington Redskins. This one's in Washington. I think Zeke Elliott looked good. He didn't really miss much of anything.
No.
I'm gonna take the Cowboys on the road. I don't think the Redskins have much, even though Jay Gruden's still trying to remake that that offense. But the Cowboys, I think, are just too strong in too many positions.
Always a great divisional game that the NFL will just try to beat over our heads over and over again. But, yeah, I agree, Cowboys.
Who's going to be dressing up in outfits for the game? Yeah, it's, you know, every
NFC
year.
NFC East. Right. Okay, sure.
Kevin?
Cowboys.
Cowboys?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure there. Then you've got this is a good battle, a good divisional battle. Yeah, the black and blue team, so to speak, that being the Oakland Raiders at home, and they are hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, this Kansas City Chiefs team, we all expect to possibly maybe really rival New England for the top spot and heading to a Super Bowl. The Raiders, I don't know what to make of the Raiders. Raiders look pretty good against Denver, but that was not a good Denver team. I'm going to take Kansas City on the road, another road team to get a win.
Got to.
Yeah, I like Kansas City.
You got the 0-1 Bears and that defense taking on the Broncos at Mile High. The Broncos don't have much. They're still trying to figure things out. The shame of it is you're wasting the better years of Von Miller. He's already got a ring. Kudos to him. But there's not much left there as far as the Broncos go. Broncos at home, they take the loss. The Bears get their first win of the season. And maybe, just maybe, Mitch Trubisky doesn't sound like a high school student.
Fangio, you know, knows Mitch like nobody else and maybe gets his first win and, you know, takes care of it. So I'll go, you know, I'll go with Denver.
You're going home team.
Just for the coaching, because he, you know, he saw this guy in the practice field and, you know, knows when he plays quarterback.
It's, you know, he predicts stuff for a living.
Don't go to Vegas with it.
I should probably go with him, but I'm not. I think this is one of those that the Bears defense literally steals. That defense just gets them this win for me.
As much as I want to agree that I thought Vic Fangio might have some inside knowledge, I just don't think. Then again, you know what? You get a couple of turnovers. Mitch Trubisky, we all say he gives you three, and if they capitalize on each one, maybe just the turnover battle alone flips the table for the Broncos, but I'm going to still stick with the Bears. The Rams at home taking on the Saints. This is a late afternoon game. I really am going to look forward to enjoying this game as we come back from Lambeau Field. But the Saints, they just look so good, but that defense didn't look great. I'm going to take the Rams at home in this one.
Yeah,
just for the home field advantage, for nothing else.
Two terrific teams that I think are going to be two. You'll hear from them all year long. And what a great matchup for week two. But, yeah, I'm going Rams at home.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering, you know, like Minnesota-Green Bay for the late game. Why not? And then I saw that, and I was like, that makes sense. I'll definitely give the Rams.
Well, you got a team that was robbed from going to a Super Bowl, the team that robbed them going to the Super Bowl.
True.
That's the matchup everybody wanted to see. And you've got a team in Green Bay who has not been to the postseason the last 2 years. It's an easy call
when it comes
to the television ratings.
Right.
Meanwhile, you've got the Atlanta Falcons with their tails tucked between their legs after getting shellacked up there in the Dome in Minnesota. Going back home down to the Mercedes Superdome, the Mercedes-Benz Dome. Isn't that what that's called down there in Atlanta? Yep. Then you've got to the Eagles. They are on the road. Eagles starting out the season 1-0. This is a good divisional battle as well right out of the chute. I'm thinking the Falcons rebound here. I know I'm going out on a limb because I really feel strong about the Eagles this year, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Falcons rebound. They get the win at home.
I'm a little concerned based on that week one game, Vikings versus Falcons, and it's how you read it, right? If you think the Vikings are just a really good team, then I think you would pick the Falcons. But if you think that there's something wrong with Atlanta based on that game, then you go against them. And I'm a little concerned that things have eroded, that they're falling apart for the Falcons. I'm going to go Eagles in that one.
Yeah, the Atlanta defense, I don't know. I don't know if it's got enough, you know, to
shut down some
of that firepower. So I'm going to go with Philly.
Then you got the Monday night game. This is an intriguing matchup. When was the last time Cleveland was a featured team on Monday night? You got Le'Veon Bell, the new running back, and by the way, their quarterback in New York for the Jets. Sam Darnold now out
with mono, right?
With mono for an indefinite period of time.
That's not
so
good.
He's gone. So they're going to rely a lot on Le'Veon Bell. Meanwhile, the Browns, who were supposed to be in the Super Bowl, got the crap kicked out of them at home. And you talk about a humbling experience, but I'll say this, the Browns fans have bought in. That place was rocking when they came out of the tunnel, and Odell Beckham Jr. and everything they have going for them, but the Browns need to get a win. The Jets need to get a win. I'm going to say the Browns on the road get the win.
I'm going to do it. Yeah, I think so too. I think they're probably got their tails, you know, tucked enough, and they come out. There's too many questions right now with the Jets. So
you tell me that the in Cleveland and in practice they haven't been doing push-ups all week to maintain pump. Because they just
while they're waiting
to play the Jets.
That's right.
Because this has been just one of those things where a franchise with hope could just go right down the toilet if they lose this game. They're going to win it.
I have a feeling as well. Then you've got the game that we're all paying attention to, the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers, both 1-0 in the NFC North. The Vikings on the road coming to Lambeau Field where the Packers have been really good. But then again, 23 points has been scored by the Green Bay Packers or more against the Vikings in, the last 9 out of 11 matchups between these two teams at Lambeau. I don't know if the Packers are going to get to 23. If I had to pick this game, and I do, but if I had to pick this game and put money on it, I think my money would go with Minnesota.
As much as
I like the defense of the Packers, and I think they're good, it's not a great test against Chicago.
The Vikings are the more complete team. The Packers, this is a work in progress, and I think they will get better, and I think they're going to challenge for some sort of playoff, some sort of playoff spot late in the year. But I think right now, the Vikings are probably going to take care of business, I would think.
It's at home, and it's that first home game, and there's that thought, if this were 4 or 5 years ago, we'd be using the term Lambeau Mystique, and we'd be talking about that. The problem is that doesn't exist in 2019. It has to be rebuilt, and this is the kind of game where being at Lambeau 4 years ago would cause me to pick the Packers. I'm going to go 2017 Vikings.
The last time they've done these big celebrations and they had the Favre jersey retirement, the Hall of Fame ceremonies and all that stuff, they've stunk the place up.
They played awful. Yeah.
Now you've got the Bart Starr memorial going on. You've got the big video tribute coming up at halftime. I don't know. Maybe
sound the foghorn.
Exactly. I want to think the Packers are going to come out and offensively roll, but what I saw down in Chicago is not going to lead me to believe anything like that. So I'm going to take, like you said, the more complete team, and we'll take the Vikings in maybe a field goal separation between these two teams. But we'll see how it comes out on Sunday. That's going to do it for everybody down here at the Red Zone. We certainly want to say thanks to Kevin Holden from CBS 58, Drew Burgoyne from CBS 58, all of you who stopped down here, our friends at Bud Light. Time for us to go. Have a good one. Soup.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.